This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد, my dear brothers and sisters, we are on the subject of the akhlaq of the ummati of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. How must a ummati of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and alhamdulillah all of us are ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How must we behave? Why is it important to do that? How does it affect us positively in this life as well as the next? And that is the beauty of our religion, that it is value addition straight away, that whatever we do is not restricted only to this life, but it gives us rewards and dividends also in the life in the hereafter. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to live this life in a way which is pleasing to Him, and when we meet Him, it will be a source of khair and barakah for us, insha'Allah al-musta'an. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you that it is not how much we know, but how much we do which makes a difference, and therefore the focus always on action. We are looking at the akhlaq of the ummati of Muhammad as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described them, and as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called us in his greatness and glory and majesty and in His mercy. He called these people the ummatis of Rasulullah, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves and appreciates. Allah called them Al-Ibadur Rahman. He said, they are my slaves. Now this is the beauty of the bayan of the Quran. Allah called them my slaves. And we were looking at their awsaf, at their sifat, and we looked at the issue of tawheed in some detail, alhamdulillah. Today we look at another very important aspect, and that is really quite literally the point of beginning. The point of beginning of everything good, which is to repent, to make tawbah, istighfar. As they say, every saint has a past and every scoundrel has a future. So therefore, tawbah and istighfar is something that is critical to success for everyone in every aspect of their lives, no matter who they are, what they are. I don't know if you can hear that hum in the background. That is the engine of one of the boats which is here. It's a fishing boat. There are these people who are fishermen, and they basically fish for lobsters and also other fish on Long Island Sound. It's their boat, and they're, I think, starting the boat to go off for a day of fishing. It's a beautiful summer day, and it's mercifully cloudy, which because the sky is so the atmosphere here is so clean that when it gets sunny, to sit in the sun is very difficult, because the sun is extremely hot and you literally burn. But if it's cloudy, it's very, very nice, alhamdulillah, and that's where I'm sitting here now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala therefore told us about this, and therefore He mentioned, Allah mentioned them as people who repent and do righteous deeds. So this thing of repentance, of istighfar, of tawbah, istighfar is to apologize, istighfar is to be contrite, istighfar is to decide to make a change in your life, and therefore the change begins with being sorry for what you are doing. I mean, if I want to change, then automatically, what goes without saying, but that's the foundation of the whole edifice of change, and that is that I am regretful about what I used to do. I'm regretful about what I was doing. I'm regretful about what I used to do. And so therefore, I decide to change, and I make istighfar. And when I make tawbah is to turn towards. So tawbah, tubu ilallahi tawbatan nasuha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way that is sincere. And therefore, when we make tawbah, we are turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. And the key thing about that tawbah is that we leave our previous life. We leave the way that we used to live. Now, you can probably hear some bird sounds. Those are blue jays, and then there are some gulls around because they're all complaining because the moment they see the fishermen on the boat, they are all waiting for scraps and fish and so on. So they're making their eagerness known. So istighfar and tawbah, these are two related and connected things. Istighfar comes first before tawbah, because istighfar is to be sorry about what you were doing. That is the foundation of all goodness, and everything else comes out of that. And tawbah is to actually make the decision to change, and to change, bring about physical, measurable change in your and my life. In my view, one of the finest examples of istighfar and tawbah is the from the seerah of Rasulullah ﷺ, is the time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the final ayah which prohibited the consumption of alcohol. This is such a powerful story, and of course I would have told you that many times. You know, one of the things that I always say is that alhamdulillah, there is nothing new in Islam. There's nothing new in Islam. And this is one of the major mistakes a lot of people do, where they try to please their audiences, in trying to, you know, attract people who are looking for sensation to them. They try to invent things, and they try to interpret and reinterpret and overinterpret things, and connect two and two and make 22. All of this is very dangerous. All of this can lead you into haram. All of this can lead you into actually making statements which can be, theologically speaking, Islamically speaking, extremely damaging for the person making the statement, and extremely damaging for those who are who believe those people. I mean, that's the other thing. Be very careful of who you listen to and who you believe. So I always tell people, there's nothing new in Islam. Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us 1400 years ago, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the seal on it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us very clearly, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenukum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam adina. Allah said, on this day I have completed the religion, right? And I have completed my ni'mah, I have completed the blessing on you, ya Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I have chosen for you Islam as your way of life, Islam as your deen. So what is new? I mean, 1400 years ago Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this is signed and sealed, this is done, complete, there is nothing remaining. I have not left something for somebody in later times to discover and invent and create and add or subtract. No, everything is done, everything is finished, and alhamdulillah, this is complete. And Allah called it His blessing, and He called it a blessing on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Alhamdulillah, we have something which is total, complete, has no gaps in it. It does not need anybody to try to improve it. Alhamdulillah, this is the final version. There is no version coming of Islam after that. Anyone who creates a version of Islam after this is purely and totally misguided. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us this very, very clearly. Astaqul hadithi kitab Allah wa khairul hadi hadi Muhammadin sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa sharrul umuri muhdathatuha wa kulla muhdathatin bid'a wa kulla bid'atin dalala wa kulla dalalatin finnar. Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us in the hadith which we hear in practically every Jummah khutbah, where he said, the best speech is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the kalam of Allah. The best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad or Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which are his ahadith, his teachings and his sunnah, his way. And then he said, شر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Without exception, he said, all innovation is misguidance and all misguidance is in the hellfire. So let us stay far away from all bid'ah, let us stay far away from all innovations, let us stay far away from all inventions and all additions and subtractions to the deen. We say what we know, and what we know is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us through the agency and through his Nabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, this is sufficient for us. We do not add to that, we do not subtract from that, we do not alter that, we do not change that. I want to make this very clear. And therefore, it is very important to ensure that we make istighfar and tawbah. Whatever we used to do, if it was a deviation from, if it was different from what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought, then it was wrong. Whether we did it, whether our forefathers did it, whether our parents did it, whether our grandparents did it, whether anybody we chose to believe, our so-called murshads and peers and whoever did it, if it was different from what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did, then it was wrong. We make istighfar for those people. We ask Allah to forgive them, and we ask Allah to forgive us. And we will not follow their way, because their way was different from the way of Rasulullah. We will follow the way of Rasulullah, because that is the only way which has a guarantee of Jannah. Allah did not say about anybody else except Rasulullah and except the Sahaba. And the Sahaba, because they followed the way of Muhammad, that Allah was pleased with them, and that they were pleased with Allah, radiallahu anhu wa radwan. And Allah, we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with us. So what do? You do what they did. Islam is about imitation. Islam is not about innovation. Islam is about imitation. It is to imitate. It is to emulate. Islam is about emulation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us very, very clearly these things in the Quran. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. He said, for you, the best way of life is to emulate my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. For the one who wants to and looks forward to the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to the Day of Judgment, and the one who makes a lot of dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for that person, the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best way. Yeah? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave him the instruction and order. He said, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِيُونِي. Imitate me, emulate me. Say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those who claim to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who say we are ashiq-e-ilahi, those who say we love Allah, those who say we are the bhakts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, say to them, emulate me, do what I do, say what I say, act the way I act, behave the way I behave. You know, every single small or big matter in his life, emulate me. Fattabi'uni. And then what will happen? Yuhibbukum, Allah will love you. Why will Allah love you? Because Allah loves Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And therefore Allah will love anyone who looks like him, walks like him, talks like him, deals like him, acts like him, behaves like him, inshaAllah. Therefore, fattabi'uni, yuhibbukum Allahu wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum wallahu ghafurur rahim. What is the boundary condition of Allah loving you? Your sins will be forgiven, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most forgiving, most merciful. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his forgiveness and mercy. And therefore, I remind myself and I remind you to make lots of istighfar and tawbah. And this is the thing which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying as one of the characteristics of those people who believe, Allah called Al-Ibadur Rahman. He said, they repent and believe in Islam and do righteous deeds. Now, my brothers and sisters, all praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who opened for us the door to tawbah. Think about that. What would we do if the door of Tawbah was not there. Na hota ghar ye Tawbah ka bahana, hum kahan jate? If Allah had not given us this excuse of Tawbah, if Allah had not given us this way of making Tawbah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had not given, if Allah had said, for example, you know, you will be rewarded or punished according to what you do, and what you do once is done, finished. There is no eraser, there is no Control-Alt-Del, there is no, delete, nothing. Whatever you have done, this will be recorded. It will be recorded accurately. So nothing will be added to that, but also nothing can be subtracted. So what you did, and you will be rewarded or punished according to that. If this had been the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tell me what would you have done, what would I have done? Right? We would have been finished, because if the actual, from the day we began to think and act, if our deeds are noted down, and if they are kept there, and if they become the basis of our reward or punishment, then believe me, I mean, we are sunk, we are finished completely. But Allah didn't do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this way of istighfar and tawbah, of erasing and re-erasing, and of deleting, and of cleaning up our acts, and not once or twice, as many times as we want. Right, as many times as we want. This is very, very beautiful hadith, which I mentioned in the few Jumas ago, where Rasulullah said that there is a man who commits a sin, and he's committing sins, he's doing something bad, and he remembers that, and suddenly he realizes what he's doing, and he's extremely contrite, he's very ashamed of himself, and he makes istighfar, and he says, "Oh Allah, Ya Allah, please forgive me, Ya Rab. I'm very sorry, I did this thing. I shouldn't have done it. I sincerely am regretful. I apologize to you. Please forgive me." So he makes this istighfar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he makes tawbah, he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He tries to change his life. Rasulullah said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very happy with that. And he's so happy, he says, "There is my slave. My slave knows that he has a Rab." Right? So he's asked his Rab. He is begging his Rab. So Allah says, "My slave knows that he has a Rab. He has a Rab, and he knows that his Rab can forgive. And he knows that, and he also knows that his Rab can punish." So he is making istighfar. He is begging his Rab for forgiveness, because he knows the Rab can punish also. So he's asking Allah to forgive. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala says, "I have forgiven him." So now he says, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that some time passes, a long time, short time, as Allah decreed, this time passes, and then this, and during this time, this slave, alhamdulillah, he has been a good person, he has not committed any sins, neither that particular sin nor any other sin, and then he's human, so what does he do? He commits a sin again. And then, of course, he suddenly realizes, "Oh my God, what did I do? Why I was clean all this while, and then again I drank, again I smoked, again I did whatever I did." Immediately he makes tawbah. He says, "Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, please forgive me. I'm so ashamed. I had made istighfar to you, but again I fell into this thing. Ya Allah, please forgive me." And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the same thing. He says, "My Rab, my slave knows he has a Rab. My slave knows that he has a Rab. He has his God. He has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My slave knows that his Rab can forgive and he can punish. And I have forgiven my slave." Rasulullah says, some more time passes, the person is clean, and then again one day he falls into the sin. He again commits sin. Again he becomes very contrite and very ashamed, and he says, "Oh Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, I am so ashamed of myself. I am so sorry. Please forgive me." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "My slave knows that he has a Rab. He knows that his Rab forgives. He knows that his Rab can punish. I have forgiven him. Let him do what he wants." Now, when this "let him do what he wants" does not mean that, you know, now he's free to commit sin as much as he wants. Meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continue to forgive him as long as he continues to seek forgiveness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that in one hadith al-Qudsi, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that if my slave worships no one other than me, right? If my slave worships no one other than me, which is Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah, that we worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we do not worship anybody else. And Allah says, and he meets me with sins which cover the earth and which are as high as between the earth and the heavens, I will meet him with forgiveness which is greater than that. Right? With forgiveness as much as that, forgiveness which is greater than that. And this is the, and there are many, many hadiths. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so forgiving that like any of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is not given to a slave to be able to fully explain any attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is not possible. Nobody can do that. I mean, you know, nobody can explain any attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it is his attribute of being the Khaliq or of his attribute of power and control or his attribute of his beauty, his Jamal or his Jalal, his awe and majesty or his forgiveness, his mercy, which is bigger than everything else. We cannot possibly even begin to describe that. Forget about doing justice to it. And Alhamdulillah for that, because we are so happy that whatever we do, as long as we turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the mercy of Allah is sufficient for us, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's so many hadiths like this, Alhamdulillah. The key thing is, and of course, there is plenty of Quran as well. I mean, it's not only a hadith, it's also plenty of Quran as well, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to forgive. One of the most beautiful ayat of this, Qul in kuntum, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Qul ya ibadi alladhina asrafu ala anfusihim la taqnatu min rahmatillah, inna allaha yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a, innahu huwal ghafurur rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, say, to them, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah says, see the beauty of this ayah, Qul Ya Ibadi. Allah is saying directly to the people. Which ibad? Say, oh my slaves. Which slaves? Is he talking to the Anbiya alayhi salam, the Nabiyeen, wa Siddiqeen, wa Shuhada, wa Salihin? No, he's saying, Qul Ya Ibadi, Alladhina Asrafu ala Anfusihim. Say to them, oh my slaves, who have transgressed against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who have transgressed against themselves, asrafu ala anfusihim, who have transgressed against themselves. My brothers and sisters, I remind you and myself, sin is like, you know, just think about this. Would I, for example, take some acid and throw it on my face? You know, would I do that? Would I set fire to my beard? Would I slash my face? Would I blind myself in an eye? Would I stab myself in a ear? I mean, imagine, just saying these things is so repulsive and so horrible. Obviously, you will say, no, of course, you would not do that. Why are you mad? I mean, why would you do that? If anyone does that, then this person would be manacled and they would have to be restrained because you would say this person is insane because they are harming themselves. They are destroying themselves. My brothers and sisters, that is exactly what we are doing when we are committing sin. Just think about this. This is what we are, when we are committing sin, what are we doing? We are transgressing against ourselves. We are harming ourselves. We are damaging ourselves. Now, why would you do that? I mean, just think about that. That for somebody, the comparison of somebody who deliberately commits a sin. Right, I'm not talking about somebody who intended, for example, to sleep for salat, to wake up for Salatul Fajr, and he fell asleep and he, you know, didn't manage to wake up. I'm talking about somebody who deliberately commits a sin. Somebody who takes a glass of whiskey and drinks it. Somebody who how else can you consume alcohol unless it is deliberate? You can't accidentally, you know, drink unless there was some alcohol in something. Somebody who goes to a bank and borrows money on interest. I mean, what is accidental about that? Right? That is the most deliberate of deeds. What is accidental about that? That's the most deliberate of deeds. You consciously, you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made borrowing and lending on interest haram. You know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared war on the one who indulges in that. And you have consciously accepted the declaration of war from Allah, while you still call yourself a believer While you still call yourself a practicing Muslim, while you still go to the masjid, while you still pray, while you still fast, while you still sacrifice, while you still give zakat, and you think you are doing all of these things, but how is it acceptable from you? There is no zakat on haram money. If your income has become haram, your zakat is invalid. You think you are paying zakat, you haven't paid it. It's started up against your liabilities. So deliberately you have chosen to accept a declaration of war from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is accidental about that? So these are things, it is like slashing your face, throwing acid on your face, blinding yourself, cutting off your nose, cutting off your lips. It is like that, it is even worse than that. Because any physical damage to yourself, alhamdulillah, today we have got enough medical technology to repair most of it, if not all of it. And even if you don't repair it, it's a physical wound, it's a physical thing. It will get cured, it might leave a scar, but once you are in your grave, that scar won't matter. Nobody is there to see it. Even when you are alive, after a while, people get used to you, your one-eyed self or your noseless self or whatever the case might be. But the sin continues and carries with you and stays with you in the grave, and then it comes and it is resurrected with you on the day of judgment, and it is there with you and it will harm you on the day of judgment, and that harm, there is no medical technology to cure it, and that harm stays with you forever. May Allah protect us from ourselves. How many times must one say this? How many times must one say this? Please stop doing these things. These are not signs of intelligence. I mean, alhamdulillah, you are intelligent people. But why would you behave in a way which is so completely insane, unless there is a major problem with your iman? There's only, believe me, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to insult you, but I'm telling you, there is no understanding. If you have a different understanding, please explain it to me. I'll be very happy. In my view, there is nothing that explains this for an intelligent person to deliberately do something which is harmful. Only means one thing, that he does not believe it is harmful. Otherwise, why would he do that? Otherwise, why would he do that? Right? For an intelligent person to do something which is self-destructive, deliberately to do something which is self-destructive, what does it tell you? It means that that person really does not believe that this thing will destroy him. Because it is not the sign of an intelligent person to destroy himself. So if he is doing something which is destroying him, all you can say is, you know what, I mean, that person does not really believe that this thing will destroy him, so he's doing it. So decide for yourself. Really, let us take this decision once and for all. Do we have iman or we don't have iman? You can't be. There is no mid path between iman and kufr, between iman and lack of iman. Iman doesn't come in grades, right? I've got 10% iman. Somebody else has got 25% iman. Doesn't come in grades. You either have iman or you don't have iman. You are a believer or you are not a believer. You can't be. There's no in between place. You know, somebody is not a. You can't be. I'm a slight believer. So please make a decision, right? So Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, Jalla Jalaluhu. So He said, "Qul ya ibadi alladhina asrafu ala anfusihim." Say, "O my slaves, who have transgressed against themselves," right? La taqnatu mir rahmatillah. Do not despair, do not lose hope about the mercy of Allah. La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Inna Allaha yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all sins. Innahu huwal ghafurur rahim. Verily and truly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most forgiving and the most merciful. Now, what more do we want? What more do we want? We have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us to repent. We have, take it like this. We have, the first thing is what? We have the belief in the Akhirah. So the first thing to ask yourself is, do I believe in the Akhirah or not? If the answer is yes, inshallah, the answer is yes, I believe in the Akhirah. Alhamdulillah, I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving me this belief in the Akhirah, which is the defining belief. This is the distinguishing belief. This is the belief that sets me apart from a non-Muslim, that I believe in the Akhirah. Right? So I say, Alhamdulillah. I have this belief. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Now what? So if I have this belief in the Akhirah, then what? Then I prepare myself for the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I live my life as purely as I can, to the best of my ability. And I continuously make istighfar and tawbah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَصْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Say to them, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who? To those who have transgressed against themselves. And see the beauty of this ayah. Allah did not say to those who transgress. Say, oh my slaves who have transgressed against yourselves. Think about these two sentences separately. Say to them who have transgressed against themselves. This is a sentence of distance. This is a sentence which you can say shows perhaps, implies, you know, some dislike. And you might say, well, you know, it's highly justified dislike. I mean, people have done these things. These things say over there, that you over there, say to those who have transgressed. That's one sentence. The other sentence is, Ya ibadi alladhina asrafu ala anfusim. Say to them, oh my slaves who have transgressed against themselves. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is including, say, oh my slaves. Think about this. Why would you call somebody who transgressed against you? Do you do that? Do you do that? Somebody who harmed you, somebody who disobeys you, somebody who constantly, irritates you. Would you call him my friend, my son, my daughter, my person, my people? Would you say that? Of course you would not say that. You would say, these are useless. I mean, I have been cursed by these people. I have been cursed with these people. I wish they were not there. You know, what kind of companions do I have? Let me get away from them. Right? Go away. You know, we would solve that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is saying, my slaves. Who is he calling my slaves? Those who transgress against themselves, meaning those who disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is saying, say to them, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, oh my slaves, who have transgressed against yourself. And then what is Allah saying? Did Allah say, you have done that and I will punish you? No, Allah says, do not despair of the mercy of Allah. Why is Allah saying this? Because this is one of the things, this is one of the ways in which shaitan prevents us from repenting. Shaitan tells us, you know what? You are 60, 70, 80 years old. You have done this kufr, you have done this shirk. You have been worshipping idols and graves and God knows what all your life. You are now this, you are known for this. You have been, you know, drinking alcohol or God knows what you were doing throughout your life, right? You have borrowed all this money and so on and so forth. Now, it's not possible. Allah will not forgive you. What is done now. Forget about it. Just live your life because this is not going to happen. This is what Shaitan tells us. This is what, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us the exact opposite. Allah says, no matter what you did, do not despair of the mercy of Allah. Do not despair of the mercy of Allah. Never say, Allah will never forgive me. SubhanAllah, this is a beautiful hadith where a man said to somebody, somebody went to this man and he asked him, he said, you know, I've done all these sins. Will Allah forgive me? The man wants to make tawbah. He said, will Allah forgive me? This man said, Allah will never forgive you. Forget about it. Now it's not going to happen. Allah will never forgive you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this man is trying to rule over me. This man is trying to say what I will do and I will not do. I will forgive the man who committed the sins and I will put this one who tried to rule over me into Jahannam. So this is what Shaitan does. And that's why Shaitan will go into Jahannam, one of the many reasons. Which is that he tells you that Allah will not forgive you. My brothers and sisters, don't believe Shaitan, believe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah said he will forgive you and inshallah Allah will forgive you and me provided we make istighfar and tawbah. There are many things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives even without istighfar and tawbah. For example, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when we make wudu, as we wash our hands, the sins drop from our limbs as dry leaves fall from trees. So this is how beautiful it is. One person, one Muslim smiles at another Muslim, that smile is sadaqah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives the sins of both of them. One Muslim meets another Muslim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives the sins of both of them. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a Muslim was traveling to another town. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent an angel, and of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. Allah does not need to send angels to find out anything. Allah knows everything. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends these angels, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does these things, and may that happen to us also. Imagine the beauty of that, if that happens to us. An angel comes and meets you and talks to you. So if that happens, alhamdulillah, we ask Allah for such karamat, so that our iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes stronger and stronger, inshallah, alhamdulillah, and we glorify Him and we praise Him, and we try to express our love for Him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent this angel who came to this man who was traveling from one town to another town. The angel appeared to him in the form of a human being, and he asked him, "Where are you going?" The man said, "I'm going to such and such a town." The angel said, "For what? Why are you going there?" He said, "To meet so and so, you know, this other Muslim brother of mine." The angel says, why are you going to meet him? He said, just like that. He said, "I'm going to meet him because I haven't seen him for a long time. I would like to just meet him. He's my brother, alhamdulillah, he's a Muslim. And I would just to express my friendship for him, my affection for him. I haven't seen him, I've been missing him, so I'm going to meet him." The angel says, "Are you going to meet him? You're going to meet him, you'll be happy and all, but are you also going to meet him because there is some business deal you are doing with him, so this is in connection with that, or are you going to meet him because this person is he owes you some money, so you are going to take a repayment of this money? Is there some other reason?" The man said, no, there's no reason. I'm just, you know, he's my friend, alhamdulillah, I'm just going to meet him. I've been missing him, so I'm just going to meet him." The angel says, then the angel reveals himself, and he says, "I am a malak, I am not a human being, and I have been sent by your Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu, I have been sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to give you bashara, to give you this glad tidings, that because you are traveling to meet this brother of yours only and only for the pleasure of Allah, only because he is your brother, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven your sins and Allah has forgiven the sins of your brother." May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to do that. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these days of quarantine and days of difficulties in travel and so on, to decree this for us all, even when we make any effort to meet each other and to communicate with each other and to express our affection for each other. If you make a phone call, if you make a a video call, or if we send an email or write a letter, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us this reward, inshallah. For Allah, nothing is difficult, and my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu has the his generosity is beyond all of this. I ask Allah this for us, and then when we are able to travel, then let us go meet people. I mean, subhanAllah, there are people, I know people who live in the same city and they don't meet each other. What's the problem? I don't understand. Go meet each other. Not in these COVID times, but once this waba is over, inshallah, then go and meet people. But right now you can do that. You can, call somebody. Don't call them in the middle of the night. Maybe send a message saying, "I just want to talk to you." Just set up a call. Talk to them. Set up a video call. Technology has made it so easy for us today to meet each other, to express our affection and our love for each other, to ask about each other, how are you doing? You can make dua for somebody, right? So you don't have to, even if you can't do something materially, you can make dua for somebody. So ask them, how are you doing? Can I help you? Can I do something? And if you can do something, if you can help them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, "La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jamia." Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all sins. We're talking about today the importance of seeking the forgiveness of Allah. So obviously the question is, if I ask forgiveness, will I be forgiven? Well, I'm giving you I'm not giving you my opinion. I'm giving you the dalail from the kalam of Allah and from the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, beyond which there is no dalil. There's nothing which is superior to that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, yes, Allah will forgive you. Do not despair of the mercy of Allah. And then Allah is saying, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ ذُنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all sins. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most forgiving and the most merciful. Right? Allah is the most forgiving and most merciful. Subhanallah. As I'm talking to you, I'm seeing a little sparrow is about this big. I don't know, this thing is building, I think he's building her nest, because she's trying to uproot or break off a piece of a blade of grass. And the amazing thing is she's sitting on another tiny shoot and then leaning over and pulling at this grass. Subhanallah, Ajeeb, Allah's Qudrat. Allah has given these birds amazing creatures. Anyway, the point I want to make is that innahu wal ghafur rahim, take this ayat, so beautiful. Allah is saying, do not despair, O you people. So three, four things very quickly. One is to sin is like throwing acid, you throwing acid on your own face. Please don't do that. It is damaging to yourself. It does not harm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it harms you and harms me. When I commit a sin, I'm harming myself. No intelligent person will do that. If you think you are intelligent and you are committing sin, then you're not intelligent. Simple as that. So number one. Number two is, whatever you may have done, right? No matter how much acid you throw on your face, remember it can all come back perfectly, because this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah told us, and He said, do not despair of the mercy of Allah. What must you do? Make istighfar, make tawbah. Apologize to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, change our lives. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to do that which is pleasing to Him, and to save us from that which is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if we displease Allah, we are harming ourselves. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.